Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, June 1st. Happy first month of June, chat. How we all doing? Good to see everybody here again. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Of course, the Yankees eventually did finalize a great weekend. 2 out of 3, so a good weekend. But the third inning, of course, in particular, was unreal. We'll break down that. We got a bunch more to go over, though, besides just the third inning. We'll talk 2 out of 3 taken against the A's. We'll talk where the Yankees currently sit in the AL East. The Rays did take 2 out of 3 against the Angels, which I watched just about every single one of those games. And man, the Angels aren't good. But hey, that's baseball. I don't think the A's are all that great either. Bottom line is both the Yankees and Rays took care of business, 2 out of 3. So a game and a half back, we enter play today. But I shouldn't even say enter play because we're off today. Yankees will be heading home back to the Bronx. They're probably already back home, but off day today. And then Tuesday begins a 6-game homestand against the Guardians and then the Red Sox tonight, or Tuesday night against the Guardians, and then Friday night against Boston. But yeah, listen, I think a lot of the takeaways actually yesterday, because of how the game ended on Sunday, were not so much about the third inning, which was unreal. But of course, you know, the final score being 13-8 brings up a lot of the conversations about the bullpen again, which the way I feel about that, I mean, we've talked about it. The bullpen is an issue that we've known about, we've discussed since the offseason, and that remains the biggest concern on this team far and away. We know that. And there's another concern as well, of course, that's the catcher position. That's Austin Wells. We know the Yankees would like to bring in a right-handed bat behind the plate to platoon with Wells at the very least. Also interesting to hear that J.C. Ascara, which this does not change my thought process on the catching position at all, by the way, but it's kind of just like a shout out to J.C. Ascara, who's apparently learning to be a switch hitter now because the Yankees need a righty catcher bat to platoon with Wells. Well, I'm going to learn how to do that. And apparently he's right-handed on everything else. Again, I'm not going to take that as like a talking point or anything that changes plans around here, but it is pretty cool that J.C. Ascara has apparently been taking BP right-handed, and he's legitimately like decent at it. And like that's actually a thing that could work for him is being a switch hitter. Not going to change any of our plans, but I just wanted to mention that. But with the bullpen, it's an issue that we've known about, we've talked about, and that remains an issue. Now, that doesn't mean it's not frustrating to see a game like yesterday where the bullpen makes it a little too close for comfort. At least it was heading there. 13-8, I still wasn't really stressing it. But I was saying to the people I was watching with, I was like, if this gets a 13-10, then I might start to get a little bit nervous. But in the end, the Yankees do take care of business. And as long as they get wins and the bullpen doesn't blow games, which obviously they have and obviously they will. But my bigger concern, everything that we talk about here and everything we'll talk about on this show in regards to how good this team is, how good this team can be, how good this team should be, all revolves around the postseason. The bullpen will be upgraded by the postseason. So with that in mind, like it does give me some ease of mind because if the Yankees do not upgrade, you know, getting more relievers at the deadline, and of course you have Carlos Agrande down at AAA, they might bring him up. There's some other options as well. Come the postseason, we know you only need 4 starters, so Weathers and Warren, if it's completely healthy, would go to the bullpen. Like, the bullpen is not going to look like this forever. In the meantime, it, of course, can cost you games. It didn't yesterday, but it has previously, and it will continue to, because it's just not good. Now, it's not as bad as it were yesterday. I'm not worried about Tim Hill. He had a bad game yesterday. I'm not worried about Fernando Cruz. He had a bad game yesterday. And we know about relievers and, like, whether it be closers not pitching in the ninth inning or just low leverage compared to, you know, guys who typically pitch in high leverage. A lot of times, whether it be adrenaline that can, you know, mess them up, and maybe that's why they had a bad outing. But we know the bullpen is bad. We've known that. Really, the only way it's an issue for me right now, because long-term I don't worry about it, is if it were to cost us the American League East, which it could. I don't think it will. But I'm more so worried about we have to get the first seed in the American League. I want the first seed in all of baseball because home field advantage, we've talked about it a lot on here, so we won't harp on it too much, but home field advantage throughout the entire postseason is pivotal for this team, pivotal for any series we've played in October in the Boone era. Remember, we have never lost a series to a lower seed while under Aaron Boone. Now, that's not necessarily like me complimenting Boone per se, but obviously, home field advantage being the top seed is very important, and the Yankees have a chance to because of how thin the American League is and how good they are to easily do that on our end of things. And also, too, wouldn't mean we're better than the Dodgers if we have a better record, but the NL is very tough. It will be easier for us. There's an easier pathway for us to have the best record in baseball than there is for a team in the NL. So not to take a blind from Boone here, but it is right there in front of us to do that. And So what I'm saying here is, well, I don't worry about the bullpen because I know it will be upgraded. Because if it's not, then the Yankees are, all right, we're just going to throw away our chances at getting back to the World Series and winning it. See, really the only roadblock from this team being a World Series caliber team is the bullpen. And that includes Austin Wells, by the way. He's got to figure his situation out. Now, he had some good at-bats yesterday. You can win with a black hole in the lineup. Doesn't mean he can be incompetent, which over the last month he really has been. The bullpen is, you can't win a World Series with this bullpen. We know that. With that in mind, I anticipate it will be upgraded. I'm quite sure of it. Ideally, it doesn't cost us the one seed in the American League or cost us the AL East. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But another series victory for the Yankees. 2 out of 3 taken against the Oakland A's. We're going to break down all of that here today. We're also going to talk some Ben Rice. We're going to talk a lot of the good things that come that came from not just this series, but the month of May is now concluded. Yankees finished the month of May 16-12. Again, entering play today. Both I think both the Yankees and Rays are off today, but a game and a half back at Tampa Bay entering today. So with all that in mind, of course, click like in the stream if you do not mind. We're live every single day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We're also available on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. So with that in mind, let's get into a little bit from yesterday where, of course, the Yankees almost made history. They did actually make some history, but here's a little bit of how it sounded. Of course, I won't play the entire thing because the ending went 43 minutes long. This was crazy.
Rip inside first and down the right field line. Schumann scores. Wells scores. Goldschmidt goes to third. It's a two-run double for Ben Rice. And the Yankees have tied the game at 3. 1-2. Driven deep to right field. Going back is Cortez. He's going to have a plate off the wall. Schumann scores. Wells scores. Rice has himself a two-run triple, and the Yankees have 12 runs. What an inning for Rice. And it's a base hit for Bellinger, and another run scores. Rice crosses the plate. An RBI single for Bellinger. He's 2 for 2 in the inning, and the Yankees have 13 runs in the inning. They're up by 10.
Yep, 13 runs in the inning. Now, the record was 14 runs that the Yankees accomplished that. July 6, 1920. I remember that game, Chad. I watched it vividly. Fifth inning against Washington. You should have been there. But no, one run short of the record. But the record they did actually set yesterday is, let's see, what were the exact numbers on this? It was, they were the first team to score at least 13 runs in a game. This is pretty fascinating, to be honest. It's not actually a good thing, but yesterday, the Yankees became the first team to score at least 13 runs in a game with all of their runs and hits coming in the same inning. So, first inning, second inning, no runs, no hits. Fourth inning through ninth inning, no runs, no hits. All 11 hits, all 13 runs, all that came in the third inning. And it was freaking nuts, yo. They sent 18 men to the plate. I'm looking at my screen here. It's got all the, you know, the KD Sharp stats and everything we got. You know, we won't spend too much on the nitty gritty here. Just going to talk about how badass it was because it was unreal. It was relentless. It was nonstop. And the A's, I mean, it took 75 pitches from 3 Oakland A's pitchers. They sent 18 men to the plate, 15 of them reaching, 13 scoring. Volpe, Bellinger, and Rice each had 2 hits in the inning. Rice, who we'll talk about a lot more later, had both a 2-run double and then a 2-run triple. 4 RBIs in the inning. Not exactly 2009 A-Rod game 162, but still absolutely incredible. Volpe, got a shout out to him because he got the inning going with the little bloop single into center field. Also kind of flies under the radar. The Yankees also had 4 stolen bases in this inning as well, 2 of them being from Volpe. But yeah, Volpe, 2 hits, including he had an RBI single. I mean, this is just a compilation of it all. Goldschmidt got it started with you know, that little RBI single. We won't break down entirely play by play, but yeah, you had the Rice, 2 hits, 4 RBIs. You had Bellinger, 2 hits with a couple RBIs, or at least one. And you know, with that, it was funny timing for me because you guys know I'm a very optimistic fan, very optimistic, and I don't talk about the Yankees unless they gave me a team to talk about them in this light, but I'm not one to be like, oh, the Yankees suck just because they're playing bad, or, you know, the first inning was brutal, and not just because of Trent Grisham error. It was just a very frustrating first inning. You had an ABS challenge on Judge, which was a strike, so it's so weird to complain about this. And obviously the video that I'm showing here doesn't match up with what I'm talking, but we all saw the inning. If you want to see how it transpired, I'll just keep running this. But in the first inning, Judge eventually got rang up on an ABS challenge, which just made me feel so weird about ABS, and I don't know how to talk about it because it's like, all right, that is a strike. It doesn't feel like a strike, and it pissed me off. And I don't know why I was like irritated about it because it was a strike. What do I have to complain about? But it was just so ridiculous. And I was like, oh, here we go. The at-bats didn't look good. Of course, in the bottom of the first, you had the, not just the Trent Grisham error, but that was 100% interference with Nick Kurtz interfering with Volpe. You literally saw him kind of like lollipop the throw because of that. And he should have been called out on interference. He wasn't. And then, of course, you had the Grisham error in center field. Sun-aided error, I know, but that was bad. And anyways, with that, I posted on my story on Yanks Ave, not just because the Grisham error, but also the at-bats, like early on against Lopez, which they said the scouting report is just like very clear-cut. Lopez throws fastballs, and he had a nice little slider, but I'm seeing 92. And all right, like he's locating, but the Yankees are being very conservative at the plate, which is fine. And yesterday was a learning lesson for me, too. We got to be patient with this Yankees team early. Like, they really do like to see a pitcher and understand what he's all about. So I try to find these stats. I apologize I don't have them exactly, but I'm very curious as a team what the Yankees, how they rank second time through the order and third time through the order compared to other teams. Because first time through, well, they will score in the first plenty. It's not an issue. But once they know what a pitcher's all about and then they plan on attacking, we see things like we saw yesterday. And that's what I'm trying to get to here. I was so frustrated with the Grisham error. Wanted to win the series. The at-bats against Lopez, who I felt like I could hit. Obviously, I can't, but that's just, as a fan, that's how I felt. And I posted my story out. This is how I talk. Not Yanks, you're losers. Not Yanks suck. Oh, this team ain't going nowhere. Because that sort of talk drives me insane. What I said was, and I'm going to make sure I don't use the language that I used here, but I said, Yanks, I love you, but I assume we're not going to play like a bunch of B-words all day, and I look forward to it. That's what I posted. That's my way of criticizing the Yankees. I love them, but you know, like, that's how I would phrase something when I'm upset. I was upset early on in yesterday's game because we're down 3-0 early. At-bats didn't look good. And then, like, 50 minutes later, I just posted I just said, thank you, because they responded quite nicely. Final score of 13-8. And, again, pretty crazy that the first time in baseball history, it makes sense this is the first time in baseball history that this would happen. First team to score at least 13 runs in a game with all of their runs and hits coming in the same inning. And the bullpen we talked about, there's nothing to discuss with the bullpen. Everything we discussed with the bullpen would be a rehash of the conversation we've had since December. And that's the one area always that I have been, I don't want to say anti-running it back, but the one part of this offseason that I was not falling in line with was the lack of additions to the bullpen, the lack of external help brought in there. That remains an issue. It's going to continue to be an issue until it is fixed. It will be fixed. If it's not, we're screwed. The Yankees know that. We know that. In the meantime, hopefully we can get by. Now, we are getting by because the Yankees are, what's their record? 36-23. And our offense, our starting rotation, our defense, our depth, all those contribute to what I consider to be, no doubt about it, the best team of the Judge era. It's good enough to be able to get by with that in the regular season until the end of July. It won't be good enough at all in October. I mean, the bullpen could, despite how good every other facet of this team is, the bullpen, if this were to be our pen in October, would get us bounced in the first round in a very possible situation. Like, that would happen. But I don't worry about that long-term because it will be upgraded. So there's not more to really to say about that. It's going to be the same conversation every single day if we talk about the bullpen, which we will. But we'll more so talk about it when they blow games. They got by yesterday. 13-8 your final score. A little close for comfort, but hey, they won. That is all that matters. It's not me just saying that. That is all that matters. I don't care if it was 13-12. That is all that matters. So that's all we're going to discuss with the bullpen here today. We know it's an issue. It remains an issue. And it will continue to be an issue until upgraded one way or another, which comes via the trade deadline. LeGrand had possibly been brought up. Warren and Weathers to the bullpen come October. Eric Reselman. There's, a bunch of options out there. We've talked about it. We'll talk about it. But I want to focus more on the positive because it is mostly positive here. The Yankees, and this can get us into this, they finish the road trip 5-1, having, of course, swept the Royals and then 2 out of 3 against Sacramento. I almost called them Oakland. By the way, the A's jerseys yesterday, the classic A's jerseys, gorgeous. And it just drives me insane. Not that the alternates that they wear are bad. Like the ones they wore on, the yellow ones on Friday, like they're fine. But like, this is a sport-wide problem. Like sports, all of them, not just baseball. The alternate jerseys have gone way out of line. There are some just like beautiful jerseys out there, whether it be the classic ones or even some newer teams, that if they just wore their home whites, I swear, like, it's just a better look. It's a classier look. And I understand, you know, having to make money and all this and that. But like, I'm looking at the A's uniforms yesterday. I'm like, those are gorgeous. Wear those every single day. Like, I like a good alternate jersey, not for us until we win. You guys know how I feel about that. I'm tired of changes being made until, you know, I get to have a ring on my finger, which I will buy a replica ring, a nice one too, once we get it. And I plan on being on the float some way or another. But until a World Series is won, I'm good off the Yankees having an alternate jersey. I have some inside information on that, by the way. We'll talk about that later. The alternate jersey is not approved by Hal at all. It was just a Nike stipulation that you had to have five jerseys, and it's been improved since the start of 2025 because you have to have, quote unquote, an alternate jersey. Hal has not approved that whatsoever, and it's not a thing. So don't anticipate the alternate jersey being worn anytime soon. That story was kind of overblown, by myself included, by the way, so I'm not innocent in this whatsoever. We were kind of misled. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Anyways, what was I going to talk about here? Let's get back to the business. Forget alternate jerseys. 16-12 record in May. Now, of course, this is a month that finished stronger than it started, or at least more so the middle of it. The weeks 2 and 3 weren't great. They finished strong. They started strong. And now we enter June with a record of 36-23, game and a half back of Tampa Bay for first place in the American League East. And, credit to them. I said on Friday it'd be another 24 to 48 hours that we'd have to talk about them. They did take 2 out of 3 against the Angels, which, again, the Angels aren't a great team. But nonetheless, with everything I have seen from this team and the issues that we know we have with this team, and a big part of this conversation about why I'm so excited and optimistic even more than I naturally am is because there's logic to the enthusiasm. Like, there's reason, method to the madness, as they always say. Take everything out of it that I already like about this team. Love. And the lineup is approaching love, by the way. And the only reason it wasn't there, and I won't get there until we get the catcher situation figured out, but in the month of May, I mean, Trent Grisham got back on track, OPS near 800. Cody Bellinger, by the way, I mean, he's been great entire season, entire month of May. A underrated note about this road trip is Bellinger finally started hitting the road. You know, first two games against Kansas City, has his first two homers all season away from Yankee Stadium. He, overall on the road trip, was just good, which the splits had always been, better at Yankee Stadium, last year included. Very stark difference this year. He was like one dot at Yankee Stadium and like brutal on the road. Well, he wasn't brutal on this road trip. That was a W. But all those things, I like the lineup. Nearing, love the lineup. Defense, we've talked about. Best defensive team the Yankees have had, even with the Grisham error yesterday. Grisham's a good center fielder. You don't just react to one play or one game. People were doing that with Volpe the other day. Like, I was so confused. Like, Volpe, I guess, had a bad game on Friday, which he did. Like, he was 0-for-4, but, like, it doesn't process in my head that, like, oh, Volpe was 0-for-4. Volpe was 0-for-4. And then there's tweets out there like, this is why you don't get too excited after one game. And then, sure enough, Volpe yesterday is, like, the biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons that 13 didn't got going, and he sits currently with a 797 OPS. You don't take one game, one moment, one error, and be like, oh, the Yankees aren't a good defensive team. No, they are. They're a very good defensive team, the best we've had in the Judge era. But all those things aside, the lineup, the defense, the depth that allows for the urgency that everybody's been celebrating, and rightfully so, but we have options to actually be urgent with, all that's great. We've had facets of this team that have been worthwhile to get excited over in the past. Nothing comes close to the starting rotation. Nothing at all. And that changes everything. Our offense could be a tier below what it is right now. Things could be not as good as they are right now otherwise. And I'm not saying they're great, but good enough. And they could be worse, and I would still feel more excited than ever given the starting rotation, which we can get into that. Continued yesterday, Will Warren. Another just very, like, six innings scoreless feels, I mean, three runs, but they were unearned. But, like, six solid innings, whatever it may be, scoreless, or, like, Rodon on Friday was good again. A nice road start for him, which he's much better at home. But he was good. Friday night, six innings pitched, one earned run, first win of the year. Six strong innings from this rotation, whoever it may be. Any of them. It feels so casual. Just like a casual six. Like, you don't even think twice about it. Will Warren yesterday, he just won his seventh game. He's 7-1 with a 3.22 ERA. Now, Weathers gave up 5 on Saturday. No issue with Boone leaving him in whatsoever. That's how things will go. You take a risk. Sometimes, it's a risk for a reason. And it didn't pay off. Weathers ended up giving a 2-run shot to Nick Kurtz. That happens. He gives up 5 runs on the day. Still, overall, you feel great about Weathers. He's been terrific. A 2.97 ERA for the Yankees starting staff, which leads all of baseball. And, just the whole season, lately, this road trip, whatever it may be, the rotation is pitching like the best in baseball. And I can't imagine that it's not truly the best in baseball. Stats are obviously one thing, The Rays have the best record in MLB right now. Are they the best team in MLB? Obviously not. I think even a Rays fan would admit that. So stats are one thing. What is true is another. Take the ERA out of it. I'll ask a question, because by all means, I'm open to, you know, disagreement here. And I want to be pushed back on if I'm wrong, because I'm looking for reasons, honestly, to not be as thrilled as I am about this team. The bullpen, there's something to say about that. Like, tell me the bullpen sucks. I'm like, I'm with you. They somehow rank 10th in bullpen ERA. I shouldn't even say that. The depth is more so the issue of the bullpen. Like, don't worry about Cruz. Don't worry about Hill. Duvall's an issue. Obviously, he's been an issue all year. But, like, we do have arms in this pen that can win you games. But we know it's an issue. There's nothing new there. What team has a better starting staff than we do? And it's not just about how elite everybody is. And with the return of Gerrit Cole, which was already going to be something we talk about as a contributor to this conversation, but just how quickly he's ascended back or turned back into what he was, if not better, right away, whether it be how everybody is pitching like an elite starter right now, but also the depth of it. I mean, we'll get Fried back at some point, obviously. Like, that'll probably be around the second half, I would guess. I mean, there will be another time where somebody goes in the IL, rotation-wise, or in general. Ideally, it's not like a long-term injury. That's not what I'm planning around here. You don't ever want to plan around that. But in the case where something goes down in past years where it's, okay, that's going to lead to us throwing a bullpen game after, this is the example because of my mind, but like Domingo Germán gets suspended in 2019. Well, game six against Houston in the 19 ALCS, we're throwing out a bullpen game, which is, respectfully, that's pathetic. Like, that just should not happen. It's not going to happen now. It's just not. If somebody goes down, God forbid, well, then Will Warren, who's currently 7-1 with a 3-2, okay, we'll take you out of the bullpen and put you back in the rotation for a postseason start. Right now, I mean, people look at Carlos Rodon as like the Yankees' worst starter. Well, okay, Rodon's going to be their fourth in the postseason, their fourth man, their last start in the rotation. And Carlos Rodon is really good. Won 18 games last year, ERA barely over 3, had the best batting average against in all of baseball. And he's finding his stuff back again. I mean, his ERA has dropped back down after a rough start back from the IL. Rodon just did what you're supposed to do coming back from an injury. Unlike Cole. Cole's like the freak here. Like, he just came back and was on right away. And it's like, yo, what? Rodon had a little bit of rust, and that's fine. He's finding it, though. And with all that in mind, whether it be the depth, not whether it be, it's both of these things, how elite each arm is, truly elite, truly elite, and the depth of it. We can afford injuries, and also, of course, the luxury of you only need four starters in the postseason. Two of those guys are going to go to the bullpen. We know that'll be, like, Rodon's going to start in the playoffs, no doubt about it, and he should. Warren and Weathers, with full health, will go to the bullpen. So, I mean, the Dodgers have a lot of depth, too. And their 1-4 is in the conversation of ours 100%. I'm not a fool, but I think ours is better. I just do. I mean, even just going off the top three, their top three is what? Yamamoto, Shohei, Glasnow, and then four would be Snell. I mean, Cole, Cam, Fried. It's close. It's close. So I don't want to be a complete homer here. Well, I mean, let's just go compare to, I mean, I'm taking, it depends, who are we comparing to Yamamoto? Who's, okay, if that's the Dodgers one, let's say, or, well, screw it, we'll throw Shohei as the Dodgers one, because he's been terrific this year on the mound. I'm taking Cam over Shohei Ohtani. He's just as good, he's better, goes deeper into games. I'm taking a wash on Cole and Yamamoto, which I think is the right way to go, so that's a win in itself when you compare to where we were in 2024 with this team, which is vastly inferior to this squad for many reasons, given the defense, the guys not playing out of position, the balance of the lineup, the depth of the lineup. Yes, the depth of the lineup. The Juan Soto's production has been replaced by Ben Rice, and our rotation is night and day different than it was back then. Granted, the Dodgers also didn't have Ohtani healthy at that point, pitching-wise, and, you know, things have changed for them, too. They didn't have Snell at that point. But, like, dude, even Snell. I like Snell a lot. I'll take Carlos Rodon over Snell. Obviously, I'll take Max Fried over Snell, which is, you know, the one-to-one comparison there. If Snell's their three, let's just say Fried's our three, which is crazy. Like, point is here, at the very least, 1-3, 1-4, postseason rotation, we match up with the Dodgers, if not better. I think we're better. Only reason I'm saying we're not better is because I don't watch every single one of their games. I know they often play the regular season, like, you know, they play for October, so their team come the postseason could look entirely different than it does right now, and I'm sure it will, actually, no doubt about it, just like ours will. The only team I can think about that rivals us that I'm even concerned about. Maybe there's another team out there, possibly. I don't think there is, but I'm always thinking about the Dodgers. We have the best staff in the AL. We have the best team in the AL. I am planning around a rematch of the 2024 World Series. So I'm thinking about the Dodgers, and I'm thinking about how our rotation stacks up against them. And at the very least, it does stack up against them. So that on its own, everything else aside, which, again, defense, lineup, depth, you know, prospects, farm system that's ready to be called upon and traded from, we're in a way better spot than we were just a couple years ago or last year with all those other things. And then you bring in their starting rotation, which is the main reason with all of this excitement. This team is different than years past. This team is way better than any team we've been excited about in previous years. Even 2019, like 2019, I would say is, especially based off feel and more so the lineup was great in 19. Maybe aided by the juice ball a little bit, but whatever. That was, everybody was playing the juice ball. All things being equal, like the Yankees 2019 lineup was probably the best and deepest we ever had. If you had to pick one part of a team to be, if you could pick one, doesn't mean the rest have to be terrible, and they're not. The bullpen, sure, not good, but one area in particular to be like the dominant force, the dominant strength, I'm taking any day of the week your starting rotation. Obviously talking centered around October. And not just are the Yankees better than in past years with this rotation, now it's like overkill almost. That's really where we're at. Now, I'm not saying that in a way of like, you know, the old embarrassment of riches phrase, because things can change very quickly. Very, very quickly. I understand that, but they can afford that. Like, they can afford not everybody to freaking, you know, go on the IL, but losing Fried hasn't been a crusher at all, and it's supposed to be. Every team, for the most part, besides maybe the Dodgers, because they have a lot of depth too, losing your ace, like, can crush you. Now, that's not why the Tigers are so bad losing Skubal, but it's certainly, you know, a killer for them not having him. Last year, if we were to lose Fried, that would be a crusher. I mean, when Cole was out, at least, like, before Cam, who was our two? Rodon. Rodon was really good last year, but after that, it was, like, Luis Gil. You know, like, again, we talked about this a lot with when people were saying Luis Gil, Yankees sent him down, and it shows, again, like, how urgent the Yankees are being. Well, no, like, they can do that this year. Like, last year, they could not send Luis Gil down. He started game two of the ALDS. Last year, at least going into the deadline, and like as we got more and more acclimated with him, like by now it's different. But like we didn't have an alternative at shortstop to Anthony Volpe. Like we didn't have an alternative to, you know, like we have Trent Grisham. Last year, if Jason was the only option, we would have had to deal with his defense in left field. By the way, Jason should be beginning a rehab assignment this week. Stanton is taking live BP this week. I'm still holding out hope that we could possibly see him return at the end of this week, but it might be next week. But both of those two are on their way back. Yeah, I mean, at the very least in the American League, I think it's like, make no mistake, they're the best and deepest in the AL, if not all at MLB. And for that reason, like that's, sounds like I'm on Shark Tank, for that reason I'm in. But no, like, because of the starting rotation, all other things aside, which I'm more than happy to talk about those other things too, besides the bullpen, which we know will be upgraded, they have more of a shot than ever to finally do it. And they better do it. And that's what comes with my feelings about the deadline, because it's so obvious the holes that we have, the bullpen being the main one, truly the main one. The catcher, like that will be resolved, I think. But I'm not losing sleep over that at night if it doesn't get done, to be honest with you. I mean, bringing a righty catcher for sure. But if, let's just say, catcher's a black hole come October, you can still win a World Series with that. Is it ideal? No. But you can't win a World Series with this bullpen. We know that. The Yankees know that. They know the urgency of no baseball next year. They know this is the best shot they've had, given whether it be the thinness of the American League or just this team on its in itself. This is their best chance because of the starting rotation. So it's exciting, y'all. And I'm not going to pretend to not be excited, obviously, which you guys know I never shy away from doing that anyways. But yeah, no, it's good stuff. And, you know, they're not playing perfect baseball, but what team does? You know, I mean, like, if we were to watch the Dodgers every, not to keep bringing up the Dodgers, but every single team, you know, you're not, like, understand, like, you're very much not aware often of, like, what a team looks like day in and day out besides the one that you watch every single day. And, like, we watch the Yankees every single day. We get frustrated with their lack of ability to hit with runners in scoring position, right? They're the fourth best team in with runners in scoring position in baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you read into it, and you quickly realize what other teams are doing, and it's quickly a reminder of, like, we're playing our competition. We're not playing the 1998 Yankees. We're not playing the 27 Yankees. We're not playing... We're playing the teams that we're competing against, which is 2026 Major League Baseball. All these issues that you think the Yankees have, even like bullpen ERA, which this does not tell the full story. We know the bullpen has to be upgraded. They're 10th in bullpen ERA. Like, you would think they're way worse than that. And again, that is an issue. But before you criticize the Yankees and how, you know, or even forget criticism, do whatever you want. But like, season's over, this team stinks. I highly encourage you to look at the teams across the league. And that's not just the AL, that's all of Major League Baseball. again, like, we watch this team every single day, so things stand out more to us. And, like, we're all very passionate about this team. So, obviously, you know, we're going to complain more about our team than other teams, of course. But all I'm saying is, like, you'd be quite surprised when you watch what other teams are doing in baseball. Because if you were to somehow be able to absorb all that information of watching every single game, every single team, 162, you might have a different tune on how good this Yankee team is. And the biggest reason is the starting rotation, far and away. No doubt about it. Let's get into some other things, though. Let's get into some other things here. Ben Rice, we've talked about this before, and I want to clarify, this isn't a thing where, you know, I posted something yesterday called Ben Rice, which he is, the homegrown replacement, the organic replacement of Juan Soto, which he absolutely is. And people are like, oh, we're still doing the Soto thing? Well, one, if I wanted to, I absolutely would. I mean, I have no issue bringing him up and the disaster that the Mets are. He's been great. Juan Soto's great. We know that. He made his bet. He's got to land it, as they say. But that's all well and good. That was more so a 2025 conversation for me. I'm sure it's because of Ben Rice that I'm now over it. And I almost want to, like, I'm more comfortable talking about it now than I am over it. It's like, yeah, word, Juan Soto left, and we're better off, which we truly are, because mainly, very much mainly, the production has been replaced by Ben Rice, who now leads all of baseball, 188 WRC+. He's hitting 306, 397 on base, 17 homers, 44 ribs, on pace for 49 home runs and 128 RBIs. He's third in baseball in F4. OPS, if you want to go off just that, nice and simple, 1.055. He's been utterly terrific. And of course, that's the main thing here. The production of Soto has been replaced by Ben Rice. That's first and foremost. Now, one might push back and say, well, I would have liked to have had both. Well, had we re-signed Soto, yeah, we'd still have Ben Rice, but we wouldn't have Max Fried. We wouldn't have Cody Bellinger. Like, I don't know which team you're taking. I know what I'm taking, though. And that's a team with essentially not having lost Juan Soto, but also having Max Fried and Bellinger on top of that. So, listen, you never actually have the final word or, like, the last word until you win the World Series. None of this matters if we don't win it all in the end, and this season will be total and complete failure and waste if we don't win it all, and I'll have nothing to celebrate from this season whatsoever if they don't win it all. So until then, you know, jury will always remain to be seen or whatever. Jury will be out, whatever it is. I like talking about it because it's awesome. Like, the fact that the Yankees organically replaced his production while still getting better otherwise by letting him go, because they would not have signed Fried and would not have gotten Bellinger had they re-signed Soto. Main reason, though, is, of course, Ben Rice. He's making this all work out. And this is now, you know, I mean, it's like the DiMaggio to Ruth. It's the Mantle to DiMaggio. It's the whatever you want to say, like Judge to Jeter. I mean, kind of an odd comparison there, I guess. But like, or like Bernie to Mattingly, Jeter to Mattingly. It's like he's the next one. He's the new cornerstone while Judge is still in his prime. You know, I kind of considered it or equated it to it's as if like Don Mattingly was still in his prime while the new core was coming up. That's what we have here. Now, Judge, still not worried about him whatsoever. I'm not even going to entertain that conversation. And by the way, just because Judge, if he's not a 1.1 OPS guy, like the way people are talking about it right now, you think he's a 700 OPS guy. The mere threat of Judge, along with still a 950 OPS, if that's what he were to be these days, which he's not. He's just in a slump. He's just a tick off. Again, I can't even pretend to be worried about that. And I respect everybody's opinion 100%, but Judge is still in his prime. It won't last forever. But if this is his floor, what's his floor? A 900 OPS, a 950 OPS? Please, we're not even going to discuss that. People watch this sport like it's football sometimes, which I think we all got to take a little bit of chill pill on that. But no, it's like you still have, going back to the Mattingly thing, it's like if Mattingly was still in his prime while the next guy was coming up, while the core was coming up. Ben Rice, and this is why I'm cool with him being the first baseman and not worrying about catcher. If catcher is an option, if that's in his arsenal right now, which the way this year has played out, the way the Yankees have plan this out, is it's not, which I'm fine with that. If he were able to catch right now, I'd want him to be in there catching, but he's not a great defensive catcher, by the way, but more so the Yankees want him to be their cornerstone, another franchise player. He is their first baseman, their homegrown first baseman, who was on pace for 50 home runs this year. And also it's a position that he has not become fully acclimated to yet. He's gotten a lot better, and I have no issue with Rice at first base. I don't hold my breath with Rice at first. I just don't. Maybe some people do. The defensive metrics, I don't think, love him, but they also don't hate him. He's a first baseman that's on pace for 50 home runs. Where's High Sox? That doesn't matter, but I like High Sox. Homegrown. It's awesome. It's awesome. So, I mean, everything that we've gotten from Ben Rice is fascinating. It also is a big contributor to the big differences with this team. And that was something that in the middle of the month, you know, when he wasn't hitting for a little bit, or not so much wasn't, well, yeah, but he had the hand thing and then he was out for a few days. His first week back wasn't great and we weren't hitting so much. And obviously Judge was really in a slump then, and he wasn't really doing anything. And it was like, all right, yeah, this team's losing games because, well, we know the bullpen's bad. They're not scoring as much, and that's going to lead to the bullpen being more exposed because it's needed more to hold one run, two run leads. Judge wasn't hitting and Rice wasn't hitting. Well, that's not the team this year. I mean, that's not what we expect when we watch a ball game, even with Judge being in a slump right now. Like, if you expect Judge to go 0 for 4 tomorrow night against Cleveland, once we're back in action, we're off today, like, I think you're crazy. Doesn't mean he won't go 0 for 4, but there's a difference between, again, stats and what's real. Don't worry about Judge. But don't take my word for it. I can just, you know, if you disagree with me, which is totally fine, I mean, I get to just let the season play out and then he'll speak for me. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, we're getting off track here. Ben Rice has been great. 1.055 OPS this season, 188 WRC plus, leads all of baseball. He's been utterly terrific. Absolutely terrific. Speaking of terrific, let's go through some other notes from just the month of May. Because again, Yankees finished 16-12 on the month, and you had some uptick in performances this year. We've talked about Jazz. Now, he had a rough-ish series against Oakland. Now, he did also sit yesterday, but in the month of May, Jazz, 800 OPS, hit 281. Goldschmidt on the year just continues to be a force. Now, it's mainly still against left-handed pitching, but he did go deep Friday against the righty Severino, which I don't know the update on him. He, of course, left in the first inning. I obviously hope he's all good. Love Sevy. But Goldschmidt, 849 OPS this season, 6 home runs, 19 RBIs. Bellinger, we've talked about, you know, at great length, of course, but 378 on base percentage this year. He has 38 RBIs, 8 home runs, finally starting to hit on the road. We know about his, and it's same as last year, 2 strike hitting, runners in scoring position. Bellinger is awesome. Again, not to keep bringing up Juan Soto, but I have no issue doing so. Soto's why do I keep saying that? It's because I'm saying production and replaced. Maybe I'll just stop regurgitating the same phrase every 5 minutes. Rice has replaced Soto. And we also have Cody Bellinger. I'm so happy we have Cody Bellinger. I know every Yankee fan is too. I mean, he is awesome. And that's all I'm going to say on it because there's nothing new here. There's nothing new here. Bellinger has been great since the minute he put on a Yankee uniform. And that continues through April of this year, continues through May of this year. And overall in the season, he's just been terrific. Also, I want to mention Max Schumann. Max Schumann is awesome. There was somebody who commented yesterday on the pregame that was like, who's the Schumann guy? Where'd he come from? I'm like, bro, have you been watching? Because like his at-bats, not only are the stats like really good entering play yesterday, he had an OPS like above 800, maybe even already at 9. But forget the OPS, just looking at the at-bats, if you've watched Max Schumann, they've been really like major league caliber at-bats, which is something that, you know, we've heard about his days in Oakland, which like the stats weren't great, but the at-bats were. And at the very least, he'll give you a good at-bat, which if you're going to be bad, which Schumann hasn't been bad, which not just add a cherry on top, it changes everything. Like Schumann's a legitimate bench piece right now. But there's a big difference between like Austin Wells right now, for example, we talk about a lot. He's been not just a black hole, but he's been like incompetent. Runner on third, less than 2 outs, he doesn't get the run in. Or first pitch swinging when every, I don't know, indicator from the pitcher you're facing says, don't swing in the first pitch. Or the situation calls for you not to swing the first pitch. Wells will. Schumann doesn't do that. There's a big difference between, take all things being equal stats-wise, which obviously they're not. Schumann's at a, where's he at? 971 OPS Max Schumann has right now. Hitting 294. But the at-bat, it's a major league caliber at-bat. And yesterday was a big part of that rally as well in the third inning. Worked a really good at-bat. Ended up having a two-run double as well in the same inning. He's been great. So just shouting out some guys that have been awesome. Volpe, we talked about, but 2 for 4 on Sunday. 2 stolen bases, excuse me. Had an RBI. 780 OPS in 13 games now, which I will more than take that. OBP is near 400, so he continues to be good. The defense I also have been very pleased with. Not, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised, because the body of work suggests Volpe is a good shortstop. Last year, of course, being the exception. But if that's what it is, I can take it for what that is then. I think last year was the one year where it was like Volpe's not a good defender. Now, were there times maybe where it felt like his defense was overrated? 2023, when he won the Gold Glove, maybe. 2024, truly was elite. Last year, whether because of the shoulder injury, probably, like whatever it may be, wasn't good. This year, though, no issues defensively, and certainly no issues offensively with Volpe. Again, 780 OPS. Grisham, we mentioned, he 797 OPS in the month of May. He now has his average, as does Jazz, over 200, OPS over 700, which, am I celebrating that? Yes, I am, because where we were in April, there's a trend here. He's trending up, and he'll continue to trend up. And with, you know, both of them, Jazz and Grisham, the back of the baseball card, like last year, whatever it may be, like would tell you that they're better players than they had been performing. But with Grisham in particular, like the underlying metrics were, you know, suggesting he was getting so unlucky that that luck was bound to turn around. And sure enough, in May it did. 355 on base. Only had three homers, but 15 RBIs, 797 OPS. His at-bats, also really good. Long, lengthy, seen a lot of pitches, which is huge, especially in front of Judge. And that's some of this Yankees approach that, like, more often than not, outside of Wells, right now they just look like they know what they're doing in the lineup. Like, they have a plan, and once they put the plan into attack, it doesn't mean they're going to win every single game. Obviously, it doesn't mean there are not going to be days where they look flat, which is any offense that doesn't score on a given day. But again, big thing being the starting rotation. Like, that, we know, is great. And then after that, it's like, yo, the lineup ain't too bad either. The depth is pretty damn good too, which was a conversation to have before the emergence of Max Schumann. And I don't want to say the emergence of Max Schumann, but, like, again, forget the stats. The at-bats look good. The Yankees have options, and it's almost like a constant in-house competition because of the depth. Like, Volpe, I'm celebrating your 780 OPS. You better maintain that, because if not, I got another shortstop. Third base, McMahon, great homer the other day. Your at-bats at times are looking good. You've been clutch. Better keep it up. If not, I got Rosario and I got Caballero too. Grisham, you want to play against lefties? Hit against lefties. If not, I'll start Max Schumann out there. I'll put Caballero out there on left, whatever it may be. I mean, technically that applies to, like, Ben Rice too, I guess. But, like, he's fine, so I'm not going to bring that up. Like, Ben Rice is awesome. Like, there's no competition to be had there. But had he not been so great, it's like, Paul Goldschmidt still was, like, right down your neck. This is more so, like, entering the season. If, say, Rice, for some reason, I don't know, got terminally ill and, like, had a regression of a season. That was weird to say. I don't want to bring up homegrown first baseman getting terminally ill. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Rice was bound to be great. But if he wasn't, you had Goldschmidt. And, like, at second base, we talked about it. Not so much a conversation anymore because Jazz has been good. But at second base, if he didn't turn it around, well, by the way, George Lombard Jr. hit two home runs in AAA. He's starting to look a lot better at that level, which is something that we've seen him do, you know, struggle early at a level and then adjust. He's still getting on base down at AAA. He's apparently, and this is from what I've read. I haven't watched every single one of his at-bats down there, obviously, but some bad luck as well. Anyways, point is like we've been talking about, unlike past years, the Yankees have options. The Yankees have competition. And again, like, I think that's actually the way to look at it. It's like a constant in-house competition just about everywhere, starting rotation included. I mean, like, come the postseason, it will be some variation of Cole, Cam, Rodon, Fried. Not in that order. For Rodon would be four. Fried will be whatever. Weathers and Warren will go to the bullpen. But in the meantime, you need a fifth start on the rotation, regular season-wise, obviously. Warren, keep pitching well. Weathers, keep pitching well, because you have to. If not, there are other options, you know? So it's funny, you bring that up, and it's like the only place there really isn't other options is catcher, and we know that. That's an issue that has to be resolved. And the expectation is that it will be. A righty catcher should be brought in. And Jules Sherman did report last week that that is the industry expectation, that the Yankees will add another catcher by the deadline. But yeah, no, I mean, all good things, Joe. All good things. And with that, we get to today's off day, which, off days, I head back to the Bronx. You got Cleveland tomorrow. We'll be back with the watch parties on Tuesday. Apologies for having to last-minute bail on Fridays. I'm all good. Something came up that I had to take care of, but all good. I wanted to make sure I told you guys, like, it wasn't, like, nothing to be, like, worried about, per se. It was just something that, like, I was not able to stream that night. I had to take care of a few things, which have all since been resolved, and we're all good. So appreciate you guys being patient with that and all understanding and all. But yeah, off day today. Everybody enjoy your Monday. It's going to be a nice, beautiful Monday, nice and blue skies. I'll tell you, though, I don't know what's going on in Jersey. Maybe NJ Transit's having some more issues, but, like, the clothe just texted me. She was getting on the path. Apparently, it's, like, packed on every single train going into the city. Don't know if there's an event going on, if it's just, like, NJ Transit, whatever it may be. But might be a work-from-home day for me, Chad. I'll tell you that. But nonetheless, I will see you guys again tomorrow morning. Of course, we're live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, here at the Morning Yankee Show. And, yeah, we'll be live for, I believe, every single game against Cleveland and at least the first two against Boston. So we'll be live all 5 days this week, Morning Yankee Show, as always, Monday through Friday. And then watch parties will be live for every game Tuesday through Saturday. So the only one we won't be live for will be Sunday series finale against Boston, which might be our first Sunday night game, I want to say. I don't know. We'll preview the series more. We'll do Cleveland tomorrow and then Boston ahead of time on Friday. But also tomorrow will be we're getting a presenting sponsor on the watch parties, which I'm freaking stoked about. Obviously, you know, I joined JM, John Boy Media officially, Yanks Av-wise, last month, and this is all part of me being able to do this full time, and they were able to negotiate a deal pretty quickly for a presenting sponsor for the watch parties, which you know, won't affect nothing in terms of, like, I hate the word content, I want to use a different word than content, but, like, the watch parties won't be affected. But just so you know, like, and it's exciting, it's awesome, I'm stoked. You know, I open the watch party tomorrow night, I'll be like, welcome to the Yankees Avenue watch party presented by blank, and then we'll do like a little mid-roll in the seventh inning. Everything else will stay the same, but it's pretty exciting. I'm stoked for it. So, anyways, now I'm blabbering. Watch party, back tomorrow. Morning Ink Show, live 5 days a week. You guys know the deal. Available on podcasts, Apple, Spotify, whatever it may be. If you could, do click like on the stream. Helps out a great deal. That's all I got. I will see you guys tomorrow morning. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Also, if I get time today, I want to do a tier list video soon too. Grading Yankee players so far. Shout out my guy Sebastian. I've been saying I was going to do one. We used to do them a lot more back in the day. And I'm hoping to do one today possibly, especially if I work from home. Love you guys so much. Appreciate you guys being here. Things are going pretty well at the Yankees right now. We know the bullpen has to be upgraded. It will be upgraded. And if it's not, the Yankees are fools. But believe it or not, I don't think they are fools, at least not to the highest degree. You know what they say, Chad? Who's the fool? The fool or the fool who follows him? Obi-Wan Kenobi, 1977. Rest in peace, Al Guinness. I'm going to get out of here, Chad. See you guys tomorrow. Let's go, Yanks.